This is Amy Poehler. My new movie, Disney and Pixar's Inside Out 2, is coming to theaters June 14th, and it's making me feel joy and sadness and anger, definitely some disgust,
Rose,
and I think a little fear. But I'm also feeling these new emotions like anxiety, embarrassment, envy, and ennui.
It's what you call the boredom.
Okay, that one was weird. It's going to be the feel-everything movie of the summer. Disney and Pixar's Inside Out 2, rated PG. Parental guidance suggested. Only in theaters June 14. Get tickets now.
You are listening to the Daily Best of Rick and Bubba.
This is 1 hour of fun from the show this morning.
Don't worry, you can still catch the entire show on your favorite podcast app.
And you can watch the Daily Best of Rick and Bubba on Blaze TV.
Enjoy the Daily Best of Rick and Bubba.
Rick and Bubba, Rick and Bubba.
It's 8 minutes past the hour of the Rick and Bubba Show. Thank you for being with us today. A brand new hour underway. Much to do. Speedy, the real Greg Burgess, Helmsy have already given you a kickoff hour. And Eddie Van Adler now joins us as well.
I said my boss is Mr. McGee.
So we'll unpack another weekend for you. We have a lot to cover on the program today, as you can imagine. We haven't been together in a few days, so a lot happens, even if we're gone for 24 hours. So you add up a couple of days, and there's much to cover, and we will. We are missing one, and we need to get him here after we sing a little. Somebody say. Somebody say.
And can you find at a second hand store?
Somebody say. Everybody together.
It wouldn't wear much more.
The silver tongue one, the man with a golden voice, professional lunch eaters, man of the year, the inventor of pizza in a cup, Shakespeare's worst nightmare, and the master of the King's English. Ladies and gentlemen, put your hands together for Bill Bubba Bussey.
How about it, Rick Burgess? Friends, neighbors, associates everywhere, welcome into the little party we call Rick and Bubba. Now in session.
Here at the Holy Ghost.
Holy Ghost.
I said the Big Bang Theory.
Big Bang Theory.
Mission Tempo Fireworks.
Yeah. Yeah. You got it.
Bubba, ready for another one?
Yep. Here we are.
Another hour, another day.
Here we are.
Another week. We'll unpack it for you, and we'll get it out and ready to go. We should have a lot going on this week. We'll keep you updated. We'll look back over the past weekend where we had a few happenings, of course, stories and updates. And Bubba, congratulations on you now being up for Speaker of the House. That is what an honor.
Wow,
thank
Bubba.
You.
What
thank
an
you.
Honor. Good luck, buddy.
What Me an honor. And everybody else that can't be elected.
what an honor. So, it's...
Jim Jordan has not been able to get the vote, so he's out now.
Right.
And I saw where the Republican caucus has put together a list of about 10, 12, maybe 15 people
yep.
to choose from. And our very own Gary Palmer's on that list.
Well,
huh?
I heard he accepted, but nobody could hear him.
Well, let me tell you, they couldn't have a better parliamentarian than Gary Palmer.
No, let me tell you something. Gary Palmer is, he's a bastion of knowledge. He understands our country, our history, our Constitution. He's low energy, as he makes fun of himself too, and not.
I just think he's focused. Really.
He is doesn't exactly command the room, but I will tell you this: you put him.
He's got a gavel.
You put him in that role. He can get it done. He actually would be a fantastic choice.
Yes, he would. And I hope he has some luck with it.
Right. Probably a little tough for the sound man, but other than that,
If you can get through the Republican caucus and the Freedom caucus, the sound man's a minor inconvenience.
Well, I will say this. Congratulations to the Democrats. I mean, this is playing right into their hands for the Republican Party to go to be divided into two small groups.
To self-destruct. Currently in a circular firing squad.
Yeah, and
at this time, Rick, when Joe Biden is absolutely leading the Democrats down.
Oh, my goodness.
It looks like a trash fire.
Yeah.
You know, it's a dumpster fire.
Oh, yes.
And he can't make a thought. He can't make a sentence. He's clearly too old to be doing the job.
Yep.
And in a time when the Republicans ought to be greasing the rail, so to speak, and moving into an election cycle that ought to be very positive for them, because we've seen the Democratic plan for the economy, and quite frankly, I prefer the one we had before it.
Yeah, that's correct.
They have decided to get in a circle, load their guns, and shoot each other.
Right.
Which is somewhat atypical and somewhat confusing to most of us who think that this is absolutely ridiculous.
Babylon B.
No, we're not the only one.
Babylon B, to your point, weighs in over the weekend. Here's the headline for today. Republicans to spend weekend brainstorming on how to be even more of an embarrassment. That's from the Babylon B. So that's, I mean, when you, there, the, that, see, at one time the Babylon B would have had up something up there about Biden.
I know.
To your point. So there you go. They did get a Biden one over the weekend, though. Leadership. Biden asked Hamas politely if they might consider perhaps letting hostages go if they feel like it.
You know, this thing of us offering more aid, I am just dead against. Dead against. You know, when and it's been pointed out, and I know y'all have seen this, and I hate to just keep beating this drum. It's so obvious.
Mm-hmm.
Remember Trump cut off money. Mm-hmm. Going into Palestine and Gaza, West Bank, he cut that money off. He moved our embassy to Jerusalem, which some people said would start World War III.
Yep.
He strengthened all these things up, entered into the Abraham Accords, trying to get Saudi Arabia in on the peace process. And we had as close to peace in the Middle East during the Trump time as we've ever had, by the way. And it wasn't by giving everybody money.
Mm-hmm.
Now, look at the alternative. We've unfrozen funds. We've done this. We're promising hundreds of millions of dollars here and there. And the situation gets worse. I think we have misread the situation for many years that we think we buy friends in the world. And I don't think that's the case.
No, it goes back to what we've often said. The enemies on these kind of gestures, all they see them are, the way they see them is they just see them as weak. That's all it is.
Yeah.
They don't see it as polite. They don't see it as, you know, mending bridges or building bridges and all that garbage.
Right.
They just see it as being weak. They go, they look pretty weak right now. Look pretty desperate. We'll be back 15 minutes past. More Rick and Bubba next.
Rick and Bubba, Rick and Bubba.
All right, so let's talk a little bit. I mean, you hear us talking more and more about health here as we age, but this one affects, are you ready for this? 100 million of you. Okay, so you're like, what, 100 million? Yeah, 100 million Americans have fatty liver. 100 million, which is why Liver Health Formula, the supplement that we've been talking about, has already sold over 2 million bottles. You know why? Because they have something that 100 million people need. So why don't you go right now to getliverhelp.com/Bubba. I'm just going to tell you, I'm not trying to get on this, but we don't treat our liver very well. I mean, we don't. Americans, we throw everything at our livers. GMOs, cholesterol, alcohol, toxins, Tylenol, statins, cigarettes, all of the things I just listed. can give us sluggish, fatty liver that makes us gain weight and feel tired all the time. So for decades, we've known that the liver's a biggie. 500 key functions daily the liver is responsible for. So you'd think you'd want to treat it with a little more priority. Liver Health Formula is an all-natural supplement. It's got 12 clinically proven botanicals that help recharge and protect your liver. Now, because you are watching this show or listening to this show, if you go to GetLiverHelp.com/Bubba, there is a free bonus gift for you, a free bottle of their blood sugar formula that can help you reduce your sugar cravings, because we can overdo the sugar too. So go to GetLiverHelp.com/Bubba and tell your liver that you're there to say thank you for all it does for you. So, Bubba, we were having a blast on Friday. We're looking back over the weekend now. And, you know, we got to see your son, Hunter Buss. He was up here.
Up here Friday.
Yeah. And we see him, and it's all fun zone. And, you know, we're spinning, you know, wheel of canned meat and golden ticket seats. And, you know, we're almost getting in a circle and jumping, a jumping circle. And everybody seems to go out on a good note. And then all of a sudden the old Team Rick and Bubba group text started getting, hey, we got something going on.
Yeah, we had a busy Friday, a lot going on, and we had already gone down to the lake, and we're getting ready for a big weekend there, and I got a call from my son, Hunter. He said, hey, I am in a lot of pain on my side. Mm. And I'm like, well, is this, like something you can manage, or do we need to head that way? And even as I was talking with him, it got worse and worse, and I realized that was going to be the case, and that we were going to have to come back and have something done. So Betty headed out immediately. We were in two different vehicles, and I stayed behind and tried to pack and get everything ready to go, and was, about 30 minutes, maybe an hour behind her. And we ended up, Hunter had to go to the emergency room, and our neighbor came to the rescue, who happens to be a doctor also, which is very handy. Thank you, Dr. Jason Junkin. And he carried him to the ER, and it turns out he's got a kidney stone.
Mm. Ouch.
you can't.
Ouch. I have never had that pleasure.
Don't want it.
I have had a gallbladder attack that I thought I was about to die.
Yeah.
But it is extremely painful, and he was in a lot of pain. And they took care of him at Grandview again. I'd like to thank everybody there for doing such a great job. And Rick, one of the attending doctor, actually goes to church with you, Dr. Bobo.
Oh, yeah.
And he come back, and he had a kidney stone that was moving. It's a small one,
she's moving,
which is good. But they said the bad news is the small one will go rolling down the pipe, you know, just poking and sticking as it goes. So,
now.
I mean, you can't even have a kidney.
So we were in the emergency room till pretty late. And then we got home, and he's been trying to pass that stone over the weekend. Has not happened yet.
Mm.
The CAT scan and the doctor said it's down in his bladder now, so it's in the position that it's ready to come out. But you still got to get it to flush, buddy. And you know there's a gate right there. You got to get through that last gate. And
The gate.
So
the
gate. I know.
Yeah, but I know where the gate goes too. So yeah. So the party's not over.
No.
So it's he's still in some discomfort. It kind of comes and goes.
Well,
he's trying to work through it, and we hope we can get that passed today. He's going to work from home. Just so we don't, you know, he's still on some pain meds and probably doesn't need to be out driving. So he's going to work from home today, and hopefully we can get through that. So need your prayers on that one, guys, to get through that.
Well, ouch. Yeah, let's get that through.
Move it on.
And you just hope, I don't know if y'all have any friends or people that you know where for some reason, you know, sometimes it's just the cards you're dealt. This is a reoccurring thing for them. I mean, they're set up for kidney stones, and they get them periodically throughout their whole life. Golly, I hope he doesn't. I hope he's not that.
We've had a guy in our Sunday school class that have had, and they said yesterday the number, and I don't want to misquote this, but it was something ridiculous. That can't be real.
No, yeah.
But it's been so many, he's in a UAB study on them.
Right.
I mean, they're studying him. He's 100 of them.
I know people I don't know about that number, but I know people that have had several, and their life is kind of like people who have back trouble. Hey, I threw my back out today. They just don't know when the day comes. Oh, got another kidney stone.
Yeah.
Man, and you just hope you ain't in that group.
No, when it becomes routine.
So we're going to go with this the way Greg's mic cover is. Are we all okay with that?
It won't stay.
Yeah, right. There you go.
Greg is he's rough on these mics.
It won't stay.
Right.
Says the man is covered in food.
Right. How about I looked over at that one, Greg, though? I've seen it many times, a little off. That was probably his awesome.
In his defense, he is right. I have gotten frustrated with him on this too, and then I've sat in that seat, and the thing is just
somebody just won't be snug.
No, it will.
Yeah, that top band is just too loose.
Yeah, it looks like the top band, like, you know, when underwear gets old.
Yeah,
and the band ain't no
good. Yeah. 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 But they actually replaced all that.
Yeah, I don't know.
It's too high up.
Yeah. So we hope he gets that. I mean, I don't.
Is it upside down?
It's one of those things where it's weird. I'm praying for Hunter Bussey to be in excruciating pain today, so he can get out of pain.
Yeah.
I mean, we can't sit here and pray that it not pass, because then he's just going to keep dealing with it.
Right. Yeah. Got to get through the gate, y'all.
One of the weirdest things that weirded me out was Hunter was in studio when Rock and Roll City did our song after the Wheel of Meat on Friday, and the whole song was, "Hunter Bussey, hope you have a great day."
That was the song?
That was the song.
He ad-libbed
the Rock and Roll City. And I was like, Hunter's in here. I'll sing a song to Hunter. Because we make it up like right then and there. Yeah. We don't practice at all. It's kind of our thing.
So Rock and Roll City song was Hunter Bussey, hope you have a great day.
And then we get these texts from Bubba. I'm like, well, I guess the song didn't work.
No. In fact, we needed a more bass drum in there to break that stone up.
Goodness.
Be more specific next time with the lyrics.
I guess so.
We'll be right back.
Rick and Bubba, Rick and Bubba.
All right, we got Hunter Bussey in the studio with us, Greg, so we got to rock hard. Come here, Hunter, come here. Hunter Bussey's in the studio today. What's up, buddy? Hope you have a good day. Hunter Bussey's in the studio today. What's up, buddy? I hope you have a good day. Let's go, Greg.
Everybody say. All right, so also this weekend, college football was out and about. You know, we always enjoy that. I didn't get to see a lot of it. I had a really, really laid-back weekend. Greg, I saw that, you know, your appearance on Friday, we saw that, you know, Greg's Instagram continues to just flourish.
Ha! Did you see who come and saw me?
I did. I saw one of your puppies. From our Year of a Rough Patch, RUFF, that one of the eight puppies came to see you at your appearance on Friday. Also heard that once again you were on the pregame show for your son's team that he coaches. He's on the coaching staff there. That once again, as you and I have done the last several years, you outpicked the expert again.
Look at Elvis.
In the pregame show, and there you with Elvis. And Greg, but you're going to have to get Lisa – you know, when Bubba and I
that was Elvis before.
Yeah, and now Elvis. You and I
it's kind of like the real Elvis.
Of course, he's changed his name. His name's Lake now.
Okay.
Lake?
Well, let's make sure we get that right.
Okay.
So the
but he's Elvis to me. Because we named him all after singers.
Got it. The when Bubba and I did a deal with what's now is Harper Collins, it was still Thomas Nelson then.
Yeah.
And we did a series of books. We didn't write any of the books. We were interviewed by Martha Bolton, and then she would try to put the books in our voice as best she could. Martha and Lisa need to talk.
Wait a minute. You don't think I did the post?
Because Lisa is...
There was no emojis.
...is putting your post up, but we all feel like... Well, that your Instagram is basically Lisa's.
Well,
and she takes pictures of you and puts you on there. But Greg, you got the stuff underneath.
You got to have a ride
at least in your voice a little bit.
I know. I'm working on it.
Yeah. Have you?
Spoon
fed.
You think Greg wrote this?
I'm going to read.
Now this one was asking me. He said there's no emotion.
I'm going to read this, and I want anybody to think that Greg wrote this. Okay. Here it is. Look who came to see me at Hendrick Hoover Automall Friday.
Oh, yeah.
Elvis.
That doesn't sound like me.
Y'all may remember the stories about the grade eight. Well, Elvis was one of them, and I haven't seen him since we delivered him to his new family back in June. His name is Lake now, but he will always be Elvis to us.
Yeah,
thanks,
right.
Clay, and is it Hassett?
Yeah.
For bringing him by. It was so good to see him. He's a big one. Does anybody think Greg wrote
no.
that?
What is funny,
no.
What is funny is Lisa tried by saying he's a big
one. She panicked.
Yeah. And no emoji.
She tried to throw something in at the end. And her first post, she put emojis.
I had to talk her out of the emoji. She tried to do it again. I said, but look, I'm just learning.
You're scared of typing, apparently.
Yeah, she needs to do
a little
better than that.
Yeah.
But, yeah.
Yeah.
I know.
So, Greg, we're just glad that however it has to be done for this audience to see you on social media and have a presence and see pictures of you doing stuff, even if Lisa is doing it, that's better than not being done at all.
I'm start doing it, but like I said, it's,
Greg, don't say things like that.
Elvis came to see me, and I thought this will be a good.
You'll never get that sentence back.
I know.
What you just said.
I know. But
I'm going to start doing it. No, you're not.
No.
And that's okay. I don't have a problem with that. You know, it's fine. Adler?
I follow Lisa, and that's a Lisa Burgess post, right? That's Lisa all
Guys,
day long.
We've talked about, we can tell when she types for him in a text.
Why don't y'all concentrate on the fact that Elvis come to the
how would Greg write?
Hey, guys,
if we were writing this so it was in Greg's voice, how would we write?
Dog see me.
Dog. It would have been something like, I was over here, you know, doing that thing I got to do about every other
You're
Friday.
You're talking about making deals that others can't?
Over here, and I was eating some pizza. And
look who wandered up, old Elvis.
Here's one of them dogs we had, you know, when I thought our life was never going to be the same again after all that stray dog came up and birthed a bunch of puppies in our garage. Here's one of them. That's how it would have been.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. That sounded like
it. Probably would have started off with, oh, crap, who brought their dog? Elvis.
Hey, you may be right.
No, it's Elvis came by and saw me. Thank God we didn't keep him.
Nah, y'all.
It would have been something like that.
Listen, I was glad to see Elvis. I like to see. We get reports from all the dogs. They keep in touch with Lisa. You know,
Elvis came by to see me. I know it's a dog come by to see me, but based on some of the Nimrods I've met today, I'll take it.
Yeah.
Well, man. It would have started out, what idiot brings his dog to a car lot?
No, that's not true.
Who calls her dog Lake?
That's not true.
Sorry.
Nice guy, got funny ears.
We're just trying to be you.
I'm just writing it out. I'll admit y'all are correct. I do need to get a little better on it.
Well, you should type.
I just wish it was more
than type.
It was more than your voice.
Well, here's what happens.
You think you look good in jeans?
How you do this picture? And she'll say, here, let me do it for her. And then she'll go, I'll just go ahead. What do you want to say?
Right.
You
know? Yeah.
So
right.
I need to, I'll start.
Well, Greg, it's,
she's just
I tried
sweet.
To do one at the Friday night picking, you know, the game, guest picker.
Yeah.
Of course, you weren't there this year. I think me and you tied last year.
We did.
And maybe the year before. I think I've won or tied at least every year.
Mm-hmm.
I thought I was going to attempt to do one there, and I just
didn't have Lisa, did you?
No, I need to figure it out.
Buddy, we can sit back down. Hey, we're going to go sit back down on the couch.
Funny is, you know, Jerry Young and then Tim Melton and John Lunsford. Well, Tim Melton was at the Zone when we were there. Remember the Sports Zone?
Oh, yeah.
He told me, he goes, one of my favorite things was to hear y'all try to cover the NBA. He goes, because y'all had no idea what y'all were talking about.
No. And we'd make fun of ourselves.
Yeah. Yeah. But I sat up in the booth for the whole broadcast. We had a great time.
Well,
of course, I won the pick, and again.
Right, yeah. Greg's greatest line ever to me about the WNBA, and it lives in infamy. It may even be on that other Twitter the guy has of famous Greg quotes. He's added one, by the way, from last week. Anyway, when he said, the only thing less interesting than watching men play basketball is watching women play basketball.
Okay.
God, what a good line.
Yeah. Well,
how about
Greg,
it's
I don't think I
Greg,
said
yes, you did, and it was accurate. Okay. Greg, don't apologize for being truthful.
Oh, yeah. Okay.
Guys, I actually found Greg initially posted this himself. And I think I found the post. Here's dog. Post to Endegard.
Endegard? Y'all look at that. Endegard.
That's really good.
You know, y'all are all over this.
I
can't argue.
You can't.
No. Ain't my gift.
It's not your gift, Greg. But you know, you're a gift to many.
Don't be scared to post it.
I am. I'm going to have to step up and start writing my own post. Yeah.
You're a gift.
You know, when she read it back to me, I think when y'all read it, I was just lying to myself and saying that sounds kind of like me. And then when y'all broke it down, I was like, well, that didn't sound like me at all.
Well, Greg, if a lot
I
of
I thought
us,
no emoji would do
a lot of us
I
out
need
there,
to do a little better.
A lot of us out there have seen many, many posts from your wife, and they're always, especially if she tries to go serious,
She does good at words.
They're very well written, and we can see her voice in this and hear it. And that's not you. No. I mean, there's lines in there you would have never said.
No.
Well, although she's trying to dumb it down,
right?
She just doesn't have the ability to dumb it to my level.
Nobody cares. She's too nice.
Yeah.
Did you just say she does good with words and such?
And such.
I don't know what that means.
That's a great
well, like there putting, right there. Putting emojis with it and all that.
Right. Look, it's even with the team text group.
So I refuse to do emojis.
When something comes from you that's very thoughtful, we know that you didn't.
No, sometimes it is, man.
No. I saw Greg chime in on Hunter's kidney stone. I thought, well, Lisa's got his phone for
everything. That was me.
Really praying for you. Hope things work out. Well, heck, that was Lisa.
That was me 100%. I started putting emoji of somebody like screaming.
You know, they have so many emojis now. It is kind of fun looking through them all to see if you find one that fits the situation.
My favorite is the guy that's pregnant.
Yeah,
there you go. That's a good emoji.
That's great.
Or you get creative and string two or three of them together.
Right. Yeah. I may try to send one out today.
Greg, what,
buddy?
It's so, Greg, you're acting like that we're upset about this. You're out there. People like it.
Listen, what's funny?
This is better.
It
than
isn't
nothing.
Just y'all. Every comment was like, that ain't Greg. Right. Every guy, good one, Lisa. That was awesome.
But now, like that. But part of me thinking you got something now. Don't ever write it yourself.
Kind of a good. You're right. No.
And now that's the joke.
That may become your thing.
I like that.
Okay, we'll continue to update you from the weekend. One of the things that happened over the weekend, a lot of college football. I didn't see a whole lot of it. I saw a little bit. Of the what was the early game that was a big game?
Ohio State, Penn State.
Oh yeah, Ohio State, Penn State
went about like we all predicted.
Yeah, I was wrong. I thought Penn State might do something.
Well, the problem is both teams, first time I'd seen either one of them play. Both of them, their quarterback play's got to get better. I mean, their quarterback play's rough. I mean, they're missing people wide open, overthrowing people. Both of them are struggling for their quarterbacks to take over the team. And they're both defenses are good. That had a lot to do with it, but there were times when those quarterbacks had people wide open. They couldn't hit them. So they're gonna
haven't seen any of that lately.
No, and then
well, that's what it looked like.
Right, yeah,
that's honestly what it looked like.
It was ugly, wasn't it?
You know, it was.
Yeah, it was really ugly.
I know what you're referencing. Yeah. That's exactly what it looked like.
Matter of fact, it looks like college football's hurting for good quarterback play. You know, if you're a good quarterback, you really stand out right now.
Yeah,
because the quarterbacks all look rough.
Bo Nix having a good year.
Yeah, he is. Good. Yeah,
and I've also
how did he do in the?
Oh, they did good.
Yeah, they did good.
You know,
and I think
funny.
He set a record for the most starts by quarterback in a career.
But didn't Washington State get after them a little bit?
They stretched out.
Okay.
What's funny? This is when Oregon brings their old uniforms out.
Mm-hmm. You know, which I like.
The yellow and green with the O's. I like that
uniform. I do. So anyway, so that happened. I know that Utah beat USC.
Yeah,
which we thought that might happen. And the Alabama Tennessee game, I watched about
two halves.
It was like two different games.
Mm-hmm. I watched not all of it. I guess I saw probably two and a half quarters of it. Because I'll tell you in a minute, we headed over and did something on Saturday night, but it was interesting, because I don't understand. I mean, these football coaches, they're paid gillions. Okay.
I mean
gillions.
Some of them a million a game now.
And I am a absolute gooden. I'm talking about a gooden. I mean, honestly, I mean, I think that, you know, I have.
You're borderline dandy.
Yeah. I have some, you know, traits that I might can help you organize your program, help you maybe have more discipline with the players. But when it comes to X's and O's, I mean, I'm an idiot. But
you know more than you let on, Rick.
But watching some of the most stupid decisions, just as Bubba, men that sit outside and whittle outside the hardware store would say, asinine, is it Heupel? Is that his name?
Yeah, Josh Heupel. These going far on fourth down.
Who's done a really good job up to this.
You're winning the game. You're up by three. You really have missed opportunities to close the door. There's no doubt about that. Your red zone, and Alabama and Tennessee both in the red zone, are not very good.
Should have been 21 to nothing, right. Really easy.
But you still are up by three, okay? And you're trying to get to halftime, up by three. And you have the ball at midfield, okay, or just in the third quarter. But anyway,
yeah, it was in third quarter.
You're up by three. You still kind of
they have were up 20-7.
You're right at halftime. You're right. Yeah. So you're still up by three, and you know Alabama, as you knew they would do, they're getting it together as they're going to do because they're well coached.
And they always do have players.
And I will tell you that right now, we may be watching as good a coaching job by Nick Saban this year as he's ever done.
This is
not a very good football team, and look where he has them. Yeah. I mean, when I say not good compared to Alabama standards,
yeah, they're good.
They're still good, but this is not a great Alabama team, and he is finding ways for them to win. I mean, the whole staff, but he's overseeing it. Where they were week one and where they are now, you see this is good
building.
This is good coaching right now.
Yeah, it is.
And so you're at midfield. You're up by three. Your defense is playing well, and Alabama's offense is having some glimmers, but they can turn the ball over. The quarterback has already turned the ball over once. You're getting to him. He's not a phenomenal quarterback. Meaning he's just going to go down the field and slice and dice. Meaning your defense versus their offense is an opportunity.
Yeah, it's a good matchup for you.
So don't make it easy on the Alabama offense by doing something stupid, like giving them half the field by trying to go for it on fourth down. And then if you're going to go for it on fourth down, at least call a play that has a chance. I mean, this going for it on fourth down all the time where these coaches, they're looking at their, what is it, the analytics and all that.
Yeah.
That's the latest thing.
Whoever sold y'all these analytics, I don't know if it's supposed to analyze a way to be stupid because this is just dumb football stuff. And, you know, punt the ball, back them up deep.
Yeah, what if you put them out in the in their own 10-yard line or something? You might cause some pressure, something crazy happen.
Yeah.
I mean, but Rick, here's the thing. I don't mind going for it. I don't mind playing aggressive based on the situation.
Yeah, don't do it when just you're for the sake
up,
of doing
yeah,
it.
Yeah, when you're up by three at midfield, no. That on the road, no. No. Now, if you're up 20-7 or something like that, or you're down 20-7,
right.
Maybe.
No.
If it's early in the game and you're trying to build momentum, I'd even look at that. Play aggressive. I don't have a problem with that. But in that situation, you're just giving them an opportunity to get back in the game.
I don't understand it. I really don't, because only thing can happen in this situation to me, the odds, if you love analytics, of this being bad, because if you don't make it,
mm-hmm.
You have given a gift. If you punt, your worst case scenario is an average offense is backed up in their own territory, and you have a good defense, and you're up by three.
Yeah,
I'm sorry, that's just smart football. And making that decision is just dumb. I mean, I know we try to like, I'm trying to win the game. Well, it doesn't look like it. I mean, to me, if you win the game, you still got to play smart. And I'm not saying it was just. I see this going on all over college football.
Oh, Oregon and Washington.
I'm sitting there going, what in the world? Yeah, Oregon, Washington.
And if you're going to make the call.
Ole Miss does it every week.
Oh, they've been doing it since, remember, against Bama that year when he was bragging about his analytics and he went for it twice at midfield and they got destroyed.
So stupid.
But, Rick, if you're going to do it, if you've got to do it, if it's burning in your soul, I got to go on fourth down, I much prefer some type of option where the quarterback – can make a decision based on it. Once you lock in and say, look, we're going up the middle, and they snuff you, you got at least some kind of rollout where
RPO.
He has a RPO, some type of option ability so they can adjust to the situation, because you never know who's going to miss a block, who's going to make a great defensive play and get off a block. At least you can adjust to it.
Yeah, the only problem is the way some of these quarterbacks are playing, they have to make the right decision.
You got to do that.
I don't know that all these can make real good decisions right now. But after the game was over, but hey, give credit, I didn't see the rest of it. When I left, Alabama had just gone up as I was driving to where we were going, and then they went ahead and shut the door.
And
like I say, that Alabama staff right now, if you're an Alabama fan, they're coaching their butts off right now.
Mm-hmm.
They really are. Yeah. But after the game was over,
a lot of average fans may think this is a bad year. We're not coaching good because we're not as good as we have been.
They're coaching their butts off right now. They got an offensive line that's suspect.
It's getting better.
They got a quarterback that's athletic but still learning.
Mm-hmm.
And they are coaching these guys up.
They get sacked all the time and it's still overcoming.
Yeah.
I mean, they get sacked a lot.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So
and a lot of that's on the quarterback holding the ball.
Yeah.
And it wouldn't surprise me at all if they beat LSU this week, too.
Oh, all. Yeah. In fact, they should.
Yeah. All right. So after the game was over, somebody decided to run on the field. And if you want to see the difference in running on the field in Alabama, you're about to see it. Here is
just watch Yellow Jacket. Okay. Yellow Jacket played some ball, and he is about to intercept, no pun intended, the streaker. He's really not a streaker. He's just a guy that ran
If you're
on
not
the field.
Naked, you're not a streaker.
Now, when is this? There's like nobody in the stadium.
Yeah.
He tackled him that hard, and they wouldn't even.
This looks like an hour after. What in the world?
Who does the streaker think he's impressive?
Look, they're mowing the grass. There's a lawnmower on the field.
This is. I didn't realize this. Oh. This idiot.
Yeah, that's what
gets de-cleated. Mm-hmm. Not for the crowd. There's nobody there. The staff is there.
This
is the cleanup crew.
I tell you what. He's got a buddy taking
the camera's
the
there, and we appreciate it.
Yeah. Boom!
Boy, that's a good hit.
Look, he's out.
That
is a great
hit.
That is a great
hit. He is out.
Look, Greg Nick.
Oh, he's out. Yes.
Yeah.
He
is shirtless.
Yeah, mm-hmm. He got hit hard. See, that's good defense right there. What a great hit.
Guys,
did you see how he brought his arms? Yeah, you see how he brought his arms through?
Yeah. Yeah. If you want to know.
Now they're all yelling at him.
If you want to know where it is, about the 20-yard lines where it happened.
Wow. That's as good as it gets.
You see how he brought his arms through? He locked up?
Why he got knocked out. First thing he hit was the back of his head.
Don't run on the field naked.
I like how they're trying to pick him up.
At Bryant Denny.
I mean, why now is what I mean.
What is he doing?
Y'all, they're close to wrapping up and closing out the stadium. They're really close to it. And now you're going to do that?
I don't know who he was trying to impress.
That ended the buzz right there, didn't it?
It did. That was the end of it. Okay. So who here on the staff do I need to see about why I spent part of my weekend watching Virgin River? Who do I need to see about that?
It ain't me. I'm out.
Who do I need to see about that?
Bubba's
who,
out of
who's,
the game.
Who's,
that should be your brother.
Who's, who did this?
I may have had a little bit to do with it, but
who
I think Greg
this?
Is the main
you,
one.
You did draft this? Slightly.
I did draft slightly, watched it
this
all.
This is like binging Hallmark movies.
That's exactly what it is.
What are we doing?
Hey, did you get caught up in it?
Well, no, I don't.
Yeah, why'd you get caught up in it?
I'm a little concerned about Jack. But look,
did you go back to season one?
Why won't he talk to somebody about what his issues?
I know, Rick.
But no, what I'm saying is this:
what about Preacher? What are we gonna do with him?
I don't know.
See?
Think I'm watching the first season because
there's like four. But
oh,
you need
no.
to get caught up, Rick.
He would know.
The next one comes out around Christmas.
No. I got four of these.
Yeah.
Four already done.
I stopped after two.
Virgin River.
I think it's four, right? Three or four. And then
wait a minute. This is not
they split the last one, so it's going to pick back up right.
Listen
at Christmas.
To his passion behind it.
But, man, I know. Is this
you did Lisa one worse is the other one we like.
But he's not watching that. Don't bring me into
who
that.
Who do I need to see about
Summer
this?
Lisa started it.
Is it you?
William Gregory Burgess is who you need to see.
It seems like we were talking about an event. I know I was the Silence of the Lambs instead of watching the ball game that time, but at some I threw out Virgin River one time. I missed something. Yeah. I said I was watching Virgin River.
Right. And the good news is, well, from what I can gather, it's like a Hallmark thing.
It's Hallmark City.
It's clean. I mean, they have some, you know, even if a situation starts.
And I wish I lived there.
Even if a situation starts you think is going down, you know, a road, they just cut away. Like, I don't know why they don't do that all the time.
I know.
But, of course, I tell you what I did get called on is anytime there looks like some people are going to spend some time together and they don't show anything, it cuts away. I was told that if I make the joke about the name of the river again, every time somebody, I said, I'll tell you one thing, she's going to get kicked out of Virgin River.
And
Sherry said, should I expect this the entire series?
She's trying to get through it.
And I said, yes, I will do that every time.
So you're just starting season one?
I guess.
Or do you jump in?
No, it started off with some woman whose husband's died is trying to start a new life in the middle of nowhere, and for some reason, Otter's mad at her.
Yeah, because they hired her without him.
From Animal House.
Yeah, you're the one.
Did he give a great speech?
He didn't need
he
no
plays
help.
A retired doctor in every series.
He does. I've seen him in a different one, too.
I saw the other one.
Hard as something.
Are we ever going to work through this? Is he going to be done with being mad about it?
He does. He gets over.
Hey.
Yes.
I am not going to sit here and let you talk bad about the United States of America. I'm just not going to do it.
I actually showed Sherry that.
That is one of the greatest speeches ever.
He was also the vice president in the West Wing. A lot of people don't know that.
I didn't know that. But you know this is where – you know, Sherry and I are 6 years apart. And for the most part, it never comes into play because once you get, you know, 59 and 53, I mean.
Yeah, it's no big.
But every now and then, like I said, you know, that's that guy that was Otter and Animal House. She goes, huh?
Oh, yeah.
And I said, you don't know about the great speech? And she goes, no, I don't know what you're talking about. And I said, what? And, of course, we had to be called up.
But
it's one of the great speeches I think in American history. I put it right up there with Reagan at the wall.
Well, here's the problem.
Tear down this wall. Here's why it's hard to look
at. Tell me what I need to do here, because here's where I am, and all of us have been.
Don't look over here.
And all of us have been there.
Well, you get him on a podcast.
So here's the thing,
Matheson.
And I'm mad at I guess Greg. And somewhat you, because I heard you talking
about it.
It's
me too, but he pulled me in.
Yeah, and for some reason, I think Adler's got some kind of underlying something here. Yeah. But here's the problem. I tried to do what I call the end around, as I said, well, you sure, go watch it, baby. If you want to go watch that, that's fine. And then I think, well, I'm going to go out and do whatever I want to do.
Mm-hmm.
But then the card gets put on the table. No, I want us to watch it together. I want you to come down there and watch it with me. And I'm like, I want you. I'm gonna put on my jammies and get out my blanket, and we can let's watch it together.
That does sound about right.
And
right.
I'm like, oh my. And I'm like, so now I'm in. I got to make the best of it.
Listen, because you got enough storyline, like you got the behind. You know, watch that wood company. You know, they're a little shady.
No, I noticed that.
You know, you got that. So,
Sherry,
you got the lovey-dovey stuff, but then you got the doctor and the people. I mean, it's corny and stupid, but it's Hallmark.
I can't believe I'm even telling you this. It's based off that book series, Robin Carr, this book series, and that's what this is based off.
Up to that moment, I was going to my disdain was totally on Greg.
The reason I'm bringing that up is I think that may have why it came into Sherry's world. She may have been reading that series. I don't know.
No, Rick,
maybe not.
Yeah. Well, see,
but we have those books laying around, and one day I was like, wait a minute, series as that.
Oh, but now we'll see how you do on this one, and then we may let you in on Sweet Magnolias.
No, Greg, what are y'all doing to me?
Hey, next thing you know, you're going to be sending out thoughtful Instagram posts.
See, that's kind of why my Instagram got better.
But what I've noticed.
I can't wait for Greg's online Christmas card.
It's going to be a good one.
We've gone back because, you know, Sherry has been getting up with me all year, and we're reading through the Bible, so she's been getting up on my time, which means she goes to sleep real quick. Well, we had a time where I thought that, honestly, like all of us, I said, baby, I think we're getting to the point you may be suffering from sleep deprivation.
Yeah.
And so,
ahead and take a nap, Sherry.
So she started sleeping later for a few days, and she would read, and I'd read, and then we'd talk about it later. Well, she started today back on, you know, this, because she said, we need to be reading it together. Well, and we also had a message this week at church where it really is true. You know, they did a survey, which is incredible, and they found that and that's why we tell people when they call here all the time, marriages that when they were interviewed, that they put down that they prayed together on a regular basis every day, read scripture together every day, those people divorced at a rate of 0.00, I think, 6. It was less than 1%.
Wow.
And so, and the ones that didn't were about 50%,
yeah,
hit or miss. So anyway, so she was like, you know, I know what we're doing is fine, but I need to be getting back up with you. So anyway, we did today. But we went back, and when we took a break from that just a little bit, which means she was sleeping more than I was on Friday. So that's when she started on me, was Friday night on this Virgin River thing. I went to sleep so hard. Mm-hmm. I was so out so fast. And so she'll go ahead and keep watching them, you know, because Sherry has no problem at all if there's something we're watching together for her watching it as much as she wants to, even if I'm not there. She has no commitment to not getting ahead of me. But in this case, I don't care because I don't care about this show. So I have noticed, though, I can miss multiple episodes.
Oh, yeah.
And then sit back down. And I look around. I said, has nothing happened?
You're right.
And she goes, no, things have been happening. And I'm like, I know everything that's going on. I've missed like 4 episodes. And she goes,
you're right.
I said, this thing must move slow.
It does.
They do.
So anyway, I'm watching Virgin River, and I'm furious about it.
And you're blaming me for it.
Now, is she going to wait on you to pick back up, or do you think she'll carry on?
No, I just pick up where she is.
Okay, anyway. No, I'm just talking about like
you
like,
really could, can, Rick.
Could
us,
she be
we
watching
can just
when
walk
you're not
back
at home? Could you, like when you're not at home at all, could she start watching?
Oh, of course. It wouldn't affect me at all. No, I don't care about that at all.
Now, Rick, the summer I turned pretty, I'm blaming on him. He brought that in.
This summer I turned pretty.
Wow.
Bubba, this past weekend, a couple of things going on. I kept hearing people talking about that the ground war in Gaza was could start at any moment.
Well, we've been hearing that for
as of
two,
right
three
now.
Weeks,
it's still
how long? 2 weeks.
Still, I don't see. anything going on. We do have cut four. We did bring up last hour, but we didn't unpack it, that Jim Jordan has now decided he didn't want to be considered.
Yeah, well, his vote count's going down. As a matter of fact, Akeem Jeffries got very close to being elected speaker, only missed by a few votes last time. So that would be very strange to have a Democrat as the speaker. But, you know, the Republicans have fumbled this about as bad as they can. And so now we're going to have they've got together and they've got a short list. I don't know, about 10 or 12 people. Yep. And we mentioned that Representative Gary Palmer's on it, who you hear on the show here quite a bit.
Yeah, be a good one. So here is Hakeem Jeffries. Now, don't forget, this is the narrative right now. This is what he had to say about Jim Jordan on the moment that Bubba just described. So here we go.
You would have all of your people here this weekend to continue to block Mr. Jordan, that you have enough votes every single roll call vote this weekend?
We recognize that Jim Jordan is a clear and present danger to the American people.
See.
And we are going to be here for as long as it takes to end this national nightmare.
Are you hearing from any moderate Republicans who will be willing to partner with you on a speaker candidate?
It's a question you should ask them.
Leader Jeffries, at this point, would you ever vote for Patrick McHenry on the floor?
I've said repeatedly that there are many Republicans on the other side of the aisle who we believe are good Americans, good patriots, good men and women. Patrick McHenry is one of them. There are others.
So I don't even know who that is. But anyway,
he was the guy that took over temporarily.
Okay.
If I'm thinking right, the guy with the bow tie, right? And they were talking about letting him be basically a speaker pro tem type setup, where he wouldn't have the full authority of being Speaker of the House, but would be a caretaker speaker until first of the year. And several of the representatives, and I do agree with them on this, that's not what the Constitution calls for. That's not the position, and they need to elect a speaker and be done with it.
Right. So that went on. Now, when you hear clear and present danger.
Well, that shows you how lunacy and how crazy he is. And all the more reason the Republicans need to get their act together.
They do, because remember, when you think about a strong central government that will be tyrannical and will send their agencies after you if you oppose them, keep in mind that many times all throughout world history that wanted to do away with your freedoms and people's freedoms, to turn it into a tyrannical dictatorship, all of them always pretended they were the answer to the problem when they actually were the problem.
Right. And of course, they're all protecting democracy
by taking
away your rights.
Every single time. Remember, Hamas told the people of Gaza that we'll have elections until, of course, they took over the government. Now that was the end of the elections.
Once they got the majority, they didn't feel like elections were all that cool.
Now, if you're worried about how unstable the world is right now, 1C, Adler, 1C, if you're worried about this, I want you to know, and then we'll show you 1A. Kamala Harris, our vice president, wants you to know that Joe Biden is all over this. So there's nothing to be concerned about. So here we go.
I think our president, Joe Biden, is uniquely qualified and skilled to do the work that must be done by American leadership to stand with our friend Israel, and to speak to the importance of the protection of civilians, and to speak about the importance of recognizing that Israelis and Palestinians all deserve to live in a safe environment and to be able to exercise self-determination.
All right, then.
Wow.
Sounded so convincing.
So she's done with him.
Yeah. Now, of course, you're going to have to get to the beach to talk to him.
Yeah. Well, we have that. I mean, 1A.
She was so just, she couldn't even hide it.
No. Now, keep in mind, if you want to see the president on the job right now, think about the world and think about any Republican president doing the same thing. Take a look at what Joe Biden's doing right now.
Yeah.
Here he is at the beach.
Unreal.
And he's
uniquely qualified. Yeah.
Do you realize the state of the world right now? And that is...
Without Jill there, he probably walks right in the water.
Rick, to what you're talking about, we have American citizens that are still being held hostage, and he's just walking the beach. The one, him laying flat in his little beach chair, I mean, he is out. You're talking about taking a nap. We've all had that beach nap.
Oh,
you
yeah.
know, in yeah. the shade.
You don't even. You get up and don't even know where you
oh,
are.
He is out of it. Yeah. And that picture, knowing what we got going on, is.
Well,
please look at that.
Look right there. That's a.
is this happen like now?
Yeah. I mean, yeah. Oh, yeah. Yeah. This past weekend.
Skies out, thighs out. I guess is Joe Biden's little thing.
This guy gets such a pass on everything.
Couldn't come up with motto just then.
That is there.
Yeah. Motto was hard to get.
I was reaching for slogan the other day.
Have you ever noticed
slogan.
At the beach how much he looks like Jimmy Buffett?
He really does.
Yeah.
He really does. But
I had a good one.
I know, too, Greg. I know what you're going to say.
That's
your strength right there. None of us are going to say it.
That's your strength, Greg.
Just let it go.
Yeah.
Can you imagine if this was a Republican president, would everybody be saying?
Oh, Rick. It would be like piranha around him right now. Rick, glad to be here, and thank all of you for joining us on the little party we call Rick and Bubba.
Bubba, you and I have done it. It's happened to us. We won't be very specific, but... You know, and this isn't a pride thing, the wrong kind of pride. I think it's almost the right kind of pride, which means self-worth. You know,
well, you need some of that.
Self-worth. Yeah. Yeah. Not the arrogant kind of pride, but just I think I'm of some value, and I want to at least acknowledge my value. And one of those things you and I have said before, we have looked around and said, I think that possibly I don't belong with this group of people.
Yeah,
I know you've looked around in here before and thought that. But, you know, like, I shouldn't be pulling for this team. I'm better than this.
Right.
Stuff like that.
I'm hanging out with a group that I feel good about, but we've kind of lost our way.
Yeah.
Bill Maher is experiencing this, and he is like, you know, I tell you what he's doing, and he is right. He says that he believes that he's a pure liberal. And he says, what we're doing right now is not liberalism because we don't allow everybody to express themselves. We are the antithesis of liberalism. And he said the party has lost its way and basically turned into a bunch of tyrants that say you have to believe what we believe.
Right.
And he goes, that's not liberal. That's not liberalism. And so he takes on a speech. And what's great is when the Dennis Millers of the world and the Bill Maher's of the world finally wake up, they're very gifted at really cutting you to the core on how stupid something is.
Mm-hmm.
And so Bill Maher has had enough of what's going on, and he's about to give every parent out there a bit of advice, and that advice is do not send your kids to college.
Yep.
Here he goes.
And finally, Newrell, as an Ivy League graduate who knows the value of a liberal education, I have one piece of advice for the youth of America. Don't go to college. And if you absolutely have to go, don't go to an elite college, because as recent events have shown, it just makes you stupid. There are few, if any, positives to come out of what happened in Israel, but one of them is opening America's eyes to how higher education has become indoctrination into a stew of bad ideas. Among them, the simplistic notion that the world is a binary place where everyone is either an oppressor or oppressed. In the case of Israel, oppressors being babies and bubbas. The same students who will tell you that words are violence and silence is violence were very supportive when Hamas terrorists went on a rape and murder rampage worthy of the Vikings. They knew where to point the fingers at the murdered, and then it was off to ethics class. Now, I recognize that a certain amount of foolishness is expected of college kids, but mixing Jägermeister and tomato juice isn't the same as siding with terrorists. 34 student groups at Harvard signed a letter that said the apartheid regime is the only one to blame, proving they don't know what constitutes apartheid. They don't know much of anything, actually. But it doesn't deter them from having an opinion. They've convinced themselves Israel is the most repressive regime in history because they have no knowledge of history or even a desire to know it. And actual history doesn't come up in their intersectionality of politics and genderqueer identities class. Now, to be fair, at least five of the student groups have rescinded what they signed, saying they didn't read the letter closely. And they promised not to make that mistake again after they graduate and start running the world. But I actually believe them, that they didn't read the letter closely. I think they scanned it, said it was blaming Israel, and went back to surfing TikTok. Because college life today is a day spa combined with a North Korean re-education camp. No, it's a daycare center with a meal plan, except the toddlers can fire the adults. The fact that college presidents, who usually love to speak out about anything, couldn't find their voice to condemn the worst attacks and the Holocaust is a lot about who really controls colleges and why, if ignorance is a disease, Harvard Yard is the Wuhan wet market. Not that colleges didn't always have professors with radical beliefs. I know, I used to sell them weed. But the reason why despising Israel became pretty much a requirement of the American left is colleges, elite colleges, the mouth of the river from which this and all manner of radical left, illiberal, yes, illiberal, nonsense flows. Supporting all black, that is, segregated dorms, segregated graduation ceremonies and orientation programs, which occur on hundreds of campuses, is illiberal. So is the racism against Asian applicants and chasing speakers off of campus. When the First Amendment watchdog group Foundation for Individual Rights and Expression began ranking colleges based on their commitment to free speech and inquiry, Harvard came in dead last. There is only one set of acceptable opinions on campus, and it's policed hard.
Mm. So there it is. That's Bill Maher. Yeah. That's not.
I mean, you wouldn't have that sounds like a speech Rush Limbaugh would have given.
Yeah, and he goes on. If you were going to watch the whole thing, it's out there. But he gets into a little bit of language, so we didn't play that. But he goes on to give more examples. But you got the heart of his speech. What we're doing now is this indoctrination. It isn't liberalism. It isn't conservatism. It's sick. It's uninformed, not well read, no real understanding of, like he said, these phrases they throw around, that they don't understand world history, and as he said, they don't care to. They scan something saying it looks like it's anti-Israel and went back to TikTok. Mm-hmm. I mean, all of that is just irresponsible, and it's really not a good education. You're not preparing yourself for the real world, I'll tell you this. Yeah. But they don't mind that because they've been indoctrinated into believing the fake world is the real world when it isn't, which is why they fail.
And, you know, we had to go through this not too long ago with my daughter, and she would call me concerned about things that were happening in her classroom, which is not Washington State, no, by the way. It was Auburn University.
Right.
And I told her, I said, look, we have a saying in the corporate world, feed the beast. Give them what they want to hear. Get your grade. Get out of there. You can debate them later.
Right. Yeah. And it's everywhere, even in so-called Christian colleges.
Oh, yeah. Absolutely.
Those are dangerous, too. We'll be back. Bubba, you mentioned it out of the medical field. You know, you look at 27,000 over 65s. We're talking about Alzheimer's, that a drug is showing some promise. I'm trying to figure out reading it because you brought it up, could cut the risk of Alzheimer's, and I'm looking at that, the risk, so I got to underline that.
Mm-hmm.
So that may not mean that I already have it and this is going to help me, but am I supposed to just start taking, like I do, a multivitamin Viagra? Because,
thank you for reading that story and pitching it to me, Rick.
Yes,
I appreciate that.
Yes, sure.
Take it away, Bubba.
You remember we interviewed, was it Jordan Vaughn?
Yeah.
And it was also the guy who used to be an orthopedic surgeon.
Yes.
And they've said throughout medical history, we've had drugs that were designed for this, and we discovered, wait a minute, it also really helps with this. I mean, this has been...
Yeah. A lot of times it ended up helping with this, second thing, more than what it originally was.
In this particular case, yes. Now you're looking at a third.
Thank you, Greg.
We've already had the second.
Yep.
Well,
thank you, Bubba.
But here's what it says.
It stops you from rolling off the bed at night.
That's funny.
All right.
But now for that, you only take half a pill.
Right.
Okay.
But anyway.
That's old Mickey Dean joke. I want to give him props.
Well,
So anyway, researchers say that the little blue pill blocks an enzyme that has been found in the brain of those who suffer with Alzheimer's disease, okay? And it says that also helps boost blood supply, which we all know, meaning that it may also treat dementia as it improves brain health. So
all of these brain issues when we get older, Rick, have to do with not getting enough blood to the actual cells.
Correct.
Hardening of the arteries. It's like
What
you that's a real thing.
Yes, it is.
On the subject we're on.
But think about it, and it was explained to me because we've been through this with our family too. You know how I can't say anything.
Yeah, just look down.
You know how when you have a garden hose outside.
Oh no!
And it's been left in the sun. It's been left in the sun, and it gets
stiff. Let's just say that
brittle.
Okay,
That's how the capillaries in your brain and your blood vessels get.
I want you to
and
know
they won't pass the blood through properly.
I want you to know right now there's only two mics open. That's yours and mine.
Thank you.
Okay.
And this particular drug relaxes that and helps blood flow, which should help your brain function. Now, I don't know how much of that you can take, Rick, and I don't know what kind of, you know, I guess over time it may lose its effect. I don't know, like a lot of drugs.
Well, they said they were trying to do that. A lot of the testing, they said the men kept getting up and leaving. They were distracted. So I don't know, but
everything cleared up.
Right.
They were thinking again, but what were they thinking
about?
That's the problem. That's the side effect.
Yeah. Oh, I will tell you, I think this drug has caused all kinds of problems in retirement community and assisted living.
Oh, yeah.
Because I think God had designed this to wind down. Oh, yeah. But maybe it could be used for this. And I don't know
did we have this conversation one time because I had thought this even prior to this story that might help, or to use a centrifuge, you know, one of those things that pins you against the wall and slings you, that might help stimulate blood flow.
What's wrong with you? Talking about the spindle top?
Yeah. Mm. Well, anything to get blood into your brain, right? You know?
Well, this one's going to put blood to the brain and other parts of the body, where. You know,
it'll help blood pressure too. It dips down after that. Bubba,
just when you get where you're clear thinking again, now of course you can't think. You know what? I mean, it's like because I got to tell you something. The older I get, the more focused I am. Uh-huh. All right. You know. So anyway, I get a lot more done. But anyway, this
I've said
is
enough. Already.
Right. You have. Well, I told you the time that I was at the doctor and he was talking about me having low T, and he said, "Do you want me to get your testosterone cranked back up?" I said, "I kind of like where I am." I said, my life really is running pretty smooth.
I need to get mine checked.
Yeah, I didn't want to say
anything. Well, no, I'm just saying we all, okay. Greg and I, we've talked about it for years. We just won't do it, will we?
Mm-mm. Also, another here is out of British. A British Frank woman Thomas has Thomas. Reduced her water bill by showering less. The problem is she stinks to high heaven.
Well, I'd rather pitch in, help her with the bill.
Yeah. Greg's trying this, he said.
Showering once a week?
Yep.
Let me ask you this.
And barely wash my clothes.
Huh? Water's not that expensive.
It's not that expensive.
I don't know where she lives, what it costs, but that,
Is it true that she said she's had her the same detergent or something for a year and a half?
One box, and if she's still in one box, she's used it for a year.
Yeah, she says she washes her clothes barely, and only showers once a week. So her clothes are nasty.
It's a combo of two.
She stinks, and she stinks.
Did I say something?
No. It's just we're 12.
Yeah.
Golly, y'all serious?
Yeah.
So I don't know if you've noticed some of the modern washing machines. They're just barely putting water in it.
Oh, that's terrible. So.
Well, as far as bathing yourself, jump in and jump out. You're not using a lot of water. You're just trying. You just want to stink and make people deal with you and act like you're doing something sharp.
Well, I will tell you, my dad, who was just an incredible Christian man and good example, served the country in WW2, the big one.
Yes.
He had patience and care for a lot of people. One thing he could not tolerate was you smelling bad.
I know. That's where it is.
Greg. Listen, you know how everybody has those lines?
Oh, yeah.
I'm
with him.
In questioning that line in the sand one time, I was told there's lakes and rivers everywhere.
Yeah.
Go get in it.
Everybody
that's can.
True.
You can try.
And this probably comes back from, you know, them growing up on the farm and having to, you know, many times bathe in a creek.
And in the war, imagine.
And
I imagine they did even worse than that in the war. So, you know, they no patience for BO. Yeah. None.
Well, that story we've told, I shut down eating one morning when I was at a breakfast bar and the gang come walking up, smelled like a bunch of onions. I just took my plate and set it down. I said, hey, I can't eat it.
Well, Greg, you also are the
people
one
that are bumping. No, they're bumping.
Yeah. We've asked that question, and it's one that really baffles me.
Well, you can
they smell it, or are they just used to it?
And it isn't like you look and go, oh, these people been out working outside. No, they had their Sunday best on, and they still smell like an onion.
Thank you for cleaning
it. Listen, recently.
Was it like a Vidalia onion, or was it like a yard onion?
It was a Vidalia, real, you know, kind
of. Yeah, I got you. I know what you're talking about. I know exactly what you're talking about.
I don't want to say that. Recently, I helped.
To give you more time.
I helped an international student.
Oh, they'll bow.
They will.
That's
they
not will. What I'm doing. That's not even what I'm talking about, Greg.
I wouldn't even second.
No,
Greg,
that's not even what I was talking about.
The person I was helping did not stink. That's not what I'm talking about.
They will bump them.
I'm talking about is I helped them in a go through the process of going to court because they didn't know what the court system looked like. So I helped them out, and there was a bunch of people in there. And I promise you would not have been able to handle it because 60% of the people in there, and that may be a low number, stunk to high heaven.
See, I can't.
It was awful.
But see,
I thought, how do you not know sitting next to me that you're bumping this
how
bad?
How do you lay down at night?
Exactly. But it was probably like 12, 1 o'clock, and they looked like they wasn't working, obviously.
But it goes back.
I think there needs to be a study on BO and lawlessness.
Right, I agree. It goes back to Bodie Bussing. Okay, God rest his soul.
Greg, my play.
Anybody.
Oh, I thought that's where you were.
Anybody can overcome stinking. You don't have to be wealthy to not stink.
Right.
So stinking is a choice because it can be avoided.
It's a don't care.
It's a don't care. And of course, Greg was the one. I think your dad and Greg would have gotten along beautifully when Greg said that there are people that can stink so bad it makes you mad.
Oh yeah.
And I think
you physically want to assault them.
Well, Greg, I mean, it does upset you because you're thinking we can do better than this.
Yeah.
We can do better than this.
When people can smell you like 10 feet from you, that's bad.
And I don't think they just – I don't think they care. They don't care.
And I do think –
nose blind.
Yeah, I think you can get nose blind.
Yeah.
Yeah, but you know how you feel. You feel grimy.
Yeah.
I took a shower this morning. Y'all could stop looking at me like that.
It took you years to get on board.
Well, I was in my 20s.
We'll be right back.
Rick and Bubba, Rick and Bubba.
So, wow. But we're going to continue to roll down this road.
Everybody. Wait a minute. Where'd he go?
Where did he go?
Where'd he go?
Where'd he go? Where'd he go?
Anybody know?
That's Basement Joe. So here's what I don't know, okay? Why he keeps telling us things that aren't true that are easily checked. And Adler, we'll go to the 3A and the 3B. So this ongoing thing, and we'll go to – let's do B first, I think. B first. We'll actually do them in reverse order since we're going to go back in time. You know, he continues to say things not that long ago, 2019. He's going to tell us again he never discussed with his son or his brother or anyone else anything having to do with their businesses. Totally a lie. And he's going to tell us about a wall. All things that now he pretends he never said. So here, first, let's go to 2019. Here is President Joe Biden.
First of all, I have never discussed with my son or my brother or anyone else anything having to do with their businesses, period. And what I will do is the same thing we did in our administration. There will be an absolute wall between personal and private and the government. There wasn't any hint of scandal at all when we were there, and I'll impose the same kind of strict rules. That's why I never talk with my son or my brother or anyone else, even distant family, about their business interests, period.
So this wall.
Did anybody really believe that was true?
Yeah, no. This wall is about as good as the wall that on the border. It's no good. And so
you can do is put it in a blind trust and then not deal with it.
Well,
but to say you wouldn't discuss it with your business partners or at least know what's going on, it's just I don't see how any president can say that.
Well, and now here's the problem, 3A. We now have a check and a photo of a check from James Biden on the same exact day that AmeriCorps wired $200,000 to James and you see that Joe Biden has got it right there. Look.
Yep.
There it is. Wow. So yes, you do discuss things with your brother, and yes, you do discuss things with your son, and you need to quit saying you don't, because we all know that you do. And I go back to this. I just don't know that.
Because if a $200,000 check showed up to me from one of y'all, yeah. I would ask, hey, what's going on?
Well, sure you would.
Right.
You probably would, Bubba. I would think so.
Hey, what's that for?
Yeah. So also this 1B on the world order, because, again, we're glad that he's there. China has deployed 6 warships, including a guided missile destroyer toward Israel. As everything there escalates, there goes all the Chinese ships. We've got ships there. You know, if you're someone that's maybe got something riding on World War III, you're sitting pretty good right now.
Mm-hmm.
Everything's the table is certainly being said, isn't it?
I don't think it's World War III, but there's certainly a lot of dry timber out there, and a lot of people are flicking cigarettes right now. You know what I mean?
Right, yeah. So,
I think the U.S. ought to tell China, how valuable are those ships to you? You don't want to lose them, do you?
Yeah.
I'd put them back over in the Red Sea and leave them there.
Yep. Well, that's probably not going to happen. No. Plus, first of all, how are you going to get the Biden to even put that sentence together? You just
well, said, that's true.
Right. Yeah, I mean, right.
Got to get the sand.
Can
out
you
of
imagine
shoes?
Him trying to shake his finger at somebody and wear them out? Can you even imagine that? Also, let's go to 1D.
Let me say this on China before you leave that.
Okay.
While that is concerning, the thing that would be more concerning to me is that China is rapidly increasing its nuclear arsenal,
yep.
and is expected to double the number of nuclear warheads from more than 500 currently to over 1,000 by 2013, which is exceeding earlier projections, according to the Pentagon's annual report on China's military growth.
Yeah, that's probably a bigger concern, don't you think?
I would think so.
Democrat, here's Representative Omar. Keep in mind, this person serves in our government and was voted in by fellow Americans. This is her talking about the conflict going on in Israel. Here we go.
Israel has dropped more bombs in the last 10 days than we dropped in a whole year in Afghanistan. Where is your humanity? Where is your outreach? Where is your care for people?
Any mention of Hamas there at all?
No, none. And let me remind you, too, there, Congresswoman, that none would have been dropped if you had to have started an attack and grabbed hostages.
This is like...
There weren't any bombs flying, Friday 2 weeks ago.
Right.
But after your attack by Hamas, that's when Israel had to defend itself, and it ain't over yet.
No. And if you don't understand that Israel has the resolve... and have shown that throughout world history, then you're just stupid to attack.
You know, I mean,
if you don't understand the resolve they've had, they've shown that since 1948.
Yeah, it's embarrassing that we have people serving in Congress with right. this. The people need to be represented, and I got that, but mm-hmm. Some of this is just ridiculous.
But that is like a mama of some idiot that walked into, you know,
a convenience store,
took out a lead pipe and hit this really large guy right in the head and also hit his kid. And then that guy came and beat him to a pulp and left him lying in the parking lot bleeding. And the mom was crying about, why does nobody care about my son?
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. All you had to do was mind your own business.
Right.
Yeah. Well, and you picked a fight, and now you got one.
A reporter at that press conference asked, "Does Israel not have a right to defend themselves?"
They're not going to talk about that. They won't even answer that question.
What does she think they should have done after they were attacked?
Thank you.
She would say they deserved it. They deserved it.
And they can't retaliate.
Right.
This is a photo that's released by the IDF. They can track where these missiles in Gaza are coming from.
Mm-hmm.
One of the missile launch sites is directly next to a kindergarten.
Yeah,
well, sure it is.
And wow. this is the play.
Right.
We store munitions underneath hospitals. We don't have military bases. We have military bases underneath civilian buildings. That's how they operate.
Yeah. What I would do is if Omar cares about the Palestinian people. She should actually be supporting Israel and the allies if they get involved, removing Hamas for the damage they've done to the people of the Palestinians.
Because tell me if I'm wrong.
For the examples like
in
that.
In the Gaza Strip, mm-hmm. They have had more self-control over their own government over the past 8 to 10 years than they've ever had since that was established.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Israel pulled out. Let it say self-rule, take care of it yourself.
And then they voted in Hamas as their government. And, right. And then they wanted to get Hamas out, and they can't because Hamas won't have elections anymore.
And now Hamas is blocking people from leaving.
Because
so that's why Israel hadn't started the ground war yet, because we still have hostages and civilians that Hamas won't let out. That's part of their play.
I would argue that the Israelis care more about the Palestinians than Hamas does.
For sure.
The way they're treating them, the way they're acting.
Bubba, your old friend Bernie. Have you seen Bernie today?
What's Bernie done now, Rick?
Your old friend Bernie. He has funneled $75,000 more of his campaign coffers to his wife and also his stepson's nonprofit. So those of you that wanted
what?
To get Bernie Sanders.
You mean the great socialist?
Well, that's actually socialism at work. He took money from people and gave it to people he wanted to have. He redistributed people's wealth.
Yep.
So he took 75. So those of you, if that's your money and you wanted Bernie to run the free world, he gave that to his wife and stepson's nonprofit. And they, have discovered that. So the senator's campaign went to the Sanders Institute. I bet that's a dilly. I bet that's as clean as a whistle, don't you think?
Yeah.
And these are from the Federal Election Commission filings. The cash follows the $200,000 that the committee sent to the nonprofit earlier this year. The institute was established by Sanders' wife, Jane, and his stepson 6 years ago as a, oh, Bubba, get ready for this. I know it's one of your favorite phrases, a think tank. You talk about being able to be gray and no one know what you're doing. So we gave money to your institute. What do y'all do? We're a think tank.
Rick, you just don't understand what a think tank is all about. Because you don't think. For us thinkers, this is just perfect.
Adler's rolling video of him behind you, and it looks like he's
talking. Trying to sync it up. Just give me a moment. I'm working on it. And the people who doubt me just don't know what they're talking about.
That's right. Yeah. I've seen what the left comes up with. It doesn't appear they do much thinking. Or maybe they're really more diabolical, so maybe that does require some planning. So know that Bernie has funneled more money to this institute that his wife and stepson run.
I tell you, if you want a good education in accounting, watch Bernie Sanders and the Biden family.
Absolutely.
They can show you how to move it around. Throw in a side order of our former Secretary of State, now the czar of, the global warming he's in charge of, John Kerry.
Oh, yeah.
He can show you how to do it,
yeah,
too.
Yeah.
Well, pass laws to tax big yachts in your state and then move your yacht 100 yards over the state line.
Right.
I mean, that's how they do it.
Really, it seems, I'm not saying these were their influences, but it does seem odd that Black Lives Matter that they would have such white influences, because it looks like they've learned to operate their nonprofit the way all of these white liberals run theirs.
Yep.
Dirty. You remember the faker who claimed she was battling cancer and documented it on TikTok and then pocketed the GoFundMe donations?
This is Greg's favorite.
Yeah. Greg, you're gonna be so sad. She broke down in tears.
Oh, boy.
As she was ordered to pay the $39,000 in restitution, but she will avoid jail. And she says, I did it to get my family together. So we just don't understand. This was something she needed to do to get her family
now
together.
Now, how does that – you got to explain
well,
that.
Greg, her sickness brought her family together.
This is more – but that was the reason she did it.
Right. I will say this.
Another scammerama.
You got a screw loose.
When you look at what Mary Lou Retton was able to raise for her medical, $40,000 is not a lot of money for someone who's faking cancer.
Right. I mean, Mary Lou Retton's a national treasure.
That's right.
But look, this is the thing. I don't know. When you fake cancer.
Oh, my goodness.
I mean, aren't you just asking for the universe to give you cancer? Whatever your belief system is, I'll put it that way, okay?
The effort it has to take to pull this off.
It's exhausting.
And it happens a lot.
Look, there's quicker, easier ways to rip somebody off. Yeah, you know what I mean? I just, I mean.
400 people sent in donations.
Get you one of them peekaboo pages. You make a lot of money with them.
There's Mr. Bussey.
Well, wow. I'm just telling you, right. If we're going to get in the gutter, do that.
The scam unraveled.
How do you do that to be a fake cancer person?
Yeah, I'm with you on that.
Her scam unraveled when medical professionals started spotting discrepancies in her story online.
Mm-hmm.
She hung
around too long.
Let me tell you what, this was a bad day for her. The police subpoenaed her medical records. And when they put the subpoena on her, you know what's the funny thing about subpoenas? Remember that from Absence of Malice?
Yeah.
So they wanted her medical records and
Look like you're sick.
Bubba, guess what? No medical facility anywhere in the area had anything showing that she had cancer.
I don't know why they don't have me down. You got to live that lie, and you got to pay attention. Come on. Yeah.
She said a lot of people may have speculated why I did this and how somebody who looked like they had everything together could have such a mess. I didn't do this for money or greed. I didn't do this for attention. I did this as an attempt to get my family back together while sobbing.
Well, why did you collect the $37,000? You could have done that.
$39,000.
Yeah, this graphics is 37, but here's the thing.
Hadn't it refreshed?
This girl could do a lot of other things. $37,000, that's not a lot of money.
Not to
throw your life away.
Right.
I mean, you're forever going to be known as a girl with fake cancer.
All right, let's talk.
And spend jail time. I mean.
All right, let's talk about the world we live in now, okay?
Right.
And I'm not exaggerating.
I mean, this ain't $370,000.
And guys, realize
$3 million,
this
you know?
Happens a lot.
In this same story, all right, everybody see it right there? $37,000. In this story, it doesn't have one but two numbers. Headline, $39,000. Opening line of the story, $40,000. And we're supposed to come on this show and try to figure out stories.
Yeah.
I mean, I'm sitting here right now, and I'm holding a story that's giving you three different numbers.
Is that what the GoFundMe took from, I mean, like the total amount was 40 maybe, and they took
TikToker who maybe scanned nearly $40,000 to earn the sympathy. Then the headline says, ordered to pay $39,000 in restitution and also a fine that was like $1,700 or $1,300.
Okay.
So I guess people are saying, how can we make the headline work? There's a lot of money in here. Let's keep throwing this in and that in. But, I know it doesn't matter because that's not that big a deal in the story, but it is frustrating.
It is.
When you're trying to do these stories that the reporters themselves can't agree on what happened.
Mm-hmm. Do you know, I mean, think about down the road what her life's going to be
okay?
So you get over all this, you get over your legal problems, you pay your fees, your fines, your probations, and you start dating somebody later on. You come up front and go, yeah, I was a girl with fake cancer, or you don't tell them and they find it online, you know, and then say you get married. Do you ever believe them when they say they lost the check?
I know.
Or credibility, they don't feel good.
Credibility takes a hit here. Bubba, Rick and Bubba. Hey, it's Rick and Bubba inviting you to tomorrow's Rick and Bubba Show.
Rick, it'll be a big and busy show as always. We'll bring you all the world events and have a lot of fun as we discuss them in only a way Rick and Bubba can.
All tomorrow, right here on a brand new Rick and Bubba Show.
Thanks for listening to the daily best of Rick and Bubba.
To catch the entire show and for all things Rick and Bubba, go to rickandbubba.com, spell out AIM.
Lord willing, we will catch you on the next edition of the Rick and Bubba Show.
Rick and Bubba, Rick and Bubba.